Go back to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, and we'll kind of jump off from there, but start again in Matthew 5. This morning, again, we considered letting our light shine. And what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that look like? We looked at the fact that in order for our light to shine, we first have to have the light within us. We can't shine if Jesus is not our personal Lord and Savior, if we've not put our faith and trust in Him and in Him alone for salvation and for life and life more abundant, then really we can't be the light. We cannot shine the light that God wants us to while we're here on this earth. But we looked this morning about how God has called each and every one of us as His children to be an example. To be an example, the city set on a hill, if you will, where the world can look to it as they're lost in their darkness and in their sin and then in their confusion, and they can look to a Christian and say, there's something different about that Christian. There's something different about that kid at school. There's something different about my coworker. There's something different about my family member. You see, the problem is we live in a world where everybody wants to blend in. We got a bunch of Christian chameleons out here. Oh, what'll please everybody? Let's blend in. Oh, we got a bunch of undercover Christians. Oh, we don't want anybody to know that we're weird. We don't want anybody to know that we're a little different. But let me tell you something, young people. And this isn't Bible, but this is good for you right here. All right, listen up to this. Nobody is normal. Everybody's weird. So embrace the weirdness. Okay, don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to fit in with this crowd and be what they want you to be and be what somebody else wants you to be. You worry about being what God wants you to be, and you won't have to worry about all of that. Just be you and be who God created you to be. And there's rest there. There's confidence. There's a lack of stress there when you say, even if others are against me, God is for me, and I'm planting my feet where He's told me to plant them. And so it doesn't matter what you think of me, because I'm more worried about what God thinks of me. So God's called us to be an example. We saw that in order for us to be an example, we need to study the Bible. You can't be an example of somebody or something you know nothing about. You need to be in God's Word. You need to be saturating yourselves with the Word of God on a regular basis. And you know what? We have more tools than ever to do that now. Did you know that? Did you know that on this little device right here, you can listen to preaching? Am I on? Am I good? Okay, we're good. You can listen to preaching on this. You can get you a Bible app, and while you're driving down the road or whatever, you can hit play, and that thing will read the Bible to you. We don't have an excuse to not be in the Word of God. Now, there's Christians around the world that perhaps could have that excuse, because they're living in places where the Bible is illegal. You hear me this morning, this afternoon? They're living in places where having a meeting like this, they are sitting in fear of soldiers bursting through the door at any moment and breaking up the meeting. There are Christians in China right now who are in jail for preaching God's word. And the amazing thing is they have great portions of the Bible committed to memory, and they don't even own one. Say, how in the world do they do that? They write down scriptures on scraps of paper and they pass them around the prison. The prison. And they memorize those scraps of paper as fast as they possibly can before a soldier or a guard comes and confiscates that little piece of scripture. They can't have a Bible in prison. But I dare say perhaps they're better Christians than we are. I say perhaps they love Jesus more than we do, and they have so little access to Him. But maybe that makes them even sweeter. Maybe the fact is we have such access to God, we have such access to the Word of God that we take it for granted. Oh, it's just the Bible. It grieves my heart when I see somebody just toss a Bible. And it grieves my heart when I see the Bible laying on the ground and pages ripped out of it. Now, I'm not superstitious about the pages or anything, but what I'm saying is we ought to realize the treasure that we hold. The treasure that we hold. If we understood that, I dare say we'd get into it more. Do we have any gamers in the room? Any gamers in the room? We got some gamers in the room. You know what the cheat code for life is? It's right here in the Word of God. I'll give you a gaming illustration. But some of us, we say, you know what? I play without cheats. I'm a pure gamer. I do it the hard way. I don't want to know how it's supposed to go. I don't want to know an easier way to do it. I want to do it, and I want to get the full experience. Well, that's one thing with a video game, but in this thing of life, listen to me, don't do it on your own. Don't do it the hard way. Why in the world would you do it the hard way? Why in the world would you run into brick wall after brick wall? Ow, that hurt. Brick wall, ow, that hurt. Brick wall, ow, that, ouch, that hurt. When you have the Word of God. Because there's two different ways to learn, young people. Did you know that? You can learn, number one, you can learn by example. Ooh, he ran into a brick wall and got a black eye. I don't think I'm going to do that. You can learn by example. Or you can learn by experience. He ran into a brick wall, but I got a hard head. I can take it. And you can run into that brick wall yourself, and you can figure out real quick, you know what? Brick walls hurt. Amen. We got an amen. We got an amen in the building, all right? Praise the Lord. But won't we take advantage of the scriptures? And I'm not trying to re-preach this morning, because we got more good stuff for this afternoon. But God wants us to be an example, first of all, by studying the Bible. Second of all, by staying away from bushels. Say, what are you talking about, Brother Drew? Verse number 15 there of Matthew 5. You see that? You turn there in your Bibles. Verse number 15, the Bible says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. God says, people, you don't light a candle, you don't light a light source, and then put a cover on it. You need it to see. I was on a run the other day, and I was over in the middle part of Pennsylvania, and there's a place called the Old Pennsylvania Turnpike. And it's an old section of road that kind of got bypassed when 76 got put in. And on this old road, there's a tunnel that's, I think, almost a mile and a half long. And so if you run into this tunnel, by the time you get to the middle, you can't see the light on either end. And so I'm a little bit crazy, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to go running on the old Pennsylvania Turnpike, because this sounds fun. This sounds like a good time. And so what did I do? I brought a headlamp with me. Why'd I do that? Because when I was a child, I was afraid of the dark. And I may or may not have grown out of it yet, okay? I may or may not have grown out, but I brought a headlamp with me because I said, I'm going into a dark place. I need some light. But you know what I didn't do when I got to the middle of that tunnel? I didn't turn the headlamp off. Let me tell you that right now. You hear your footsteps are really loud, and you hear water droplets come. It was really kind of spooky. It was kind of spooky being in the middle of that tunnel. And thankfully, my batteries on my headlamp didn't die in the middle of that. Ever had a battery die on you when you really needed some light? And whoops! But you forgot to put batteries in that flashlight. But I didn't cover up the light because I needed it to see where I was going. And the fact is, sometimes we got our light. We know Jesus is our Savior. We know that He loves us, but we're covering up our light. Yeah. We're ashamed. We're ashamed of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Shame on us if we're ashamed on the one that gave everything for us. Shame on us if we're ashamed of the one that hung on the cross for our sins. If you find yourself in a place where you're ashamed of Jesus today, you need to get on your knees at this altar right here and say, God, I forgive me. Forgive me for being ashamed of you. Forgive me for covering up my light. But sometimes these bushels are things that we allow into our lives, things that maybe kind of sneak in there, and they can put out our light. They can cover up our light. They can make it so that we are no longer effective in shining our light for Jesus Christ. I got a lot of things I could say right here, but I want to give you one. Entertainment. Now listen, I'm not against entertainment. I think that every once in a while you need a little bit of entertainment. You need to get your mind off of things. But let's just look at this word, entertainment. What is the root word there is entertain. You know what that word means? It means to amuse or divert. It means to cause enjoyment. And again, I believe in enjoyment. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us all things richly to enjoy. I don't believe that in this theology that says you have to, in order to please Jesus, you have to walk around in scratchy monk robes and eat nothing but cold crusts of bread and drink nothing but water and be sad and miserable all the time. Let me tell you something. That's not the Jesus I know. that's not the life that I've known. Can I tell you something, young people? The moment I decided to give my life to Jesus, I'm telling you, it was the greatest moment of my life. I'm telling you, the peace, the purpose that flooded in that moment. Does that mean I was perfect and never sinned again? No, no, no. But let me tell you something. I have had more fun serving Jesus than anything else I've ever done in my life. I'm telling you. It's amazing. God has called us to this ministry of evangelism. We've been on the road about 16 months now. I was an assistant pastor for about 5 years before that. And I think of my children. They have gotten to see more of this country than I did in my entire 26 years of life before I started getting on the road. They've been to the Grand Canyon. They've been out west. They've been to all these amazing things. Anybody that says, if you decide to serve Jesus, if you decide to let your light shine, you're going to be sad, miserable, broke, poor, and all these terrible things, hey, they're lying to you. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be all easy. I'm not saying that you're not going to be eating some ramen from time to time. How many of you like ramen? Yeah, okay, see, y'all be just fine serving Jesus, all right? But what I am saying is serving Jesus is about as good as it gets. It's the best plan for your life. It's better than your plan for your life. It's better than anything that you can imagine. Serving Jesus. But entertainment. I think entertainment can very easily put a bushel over our light. But you think about that word entertainment. It means to divert. It means to amuse. You know what the word amuse means? Muse means think. Amuse means to not think. Again, sometimes you got to take a break. I understand that. But let me tell you, you're not supposed to not think for 12 hours straight. You're not supposed to amuse all night long. I know. Y'all getting quiet on me, okay? Y'all getting quiet on me. But listen to me now. We as a nation are amusing ourselves to death. It's all about when we just gotta have fun, we gotta amuse ourselves, we gotta do this, we gotta play this, we gotta watch this. Have you seen this movie? Have you seen this show? Have you seen the state of this world? Have you seen souls on their way to hell? Have you seen lives thrown away and wasted? Have you seen kids wrapped up in depression and anxiety? And I think this is a huge reason why. We're just filling our minds with all sorts of garbage. We're making this decision. I can't think about it. I just gotta entertain myself. I gotta be amused. I gotta divert myself. There's another one. What are you diverting yourself from? Can I challenge you with something? Live in the real. Live in the real. You know what's some of the older folks, you know what's the new thing that's coming up? It's called virtual reality. What you do is you take a pair of goggles and you put them over your face, and you could be skydiving or riding a roller coaster. And they have ways to make it realistic. I'm telling you, real. I mean, it's kind of scary. You almost can't even tell the difference between what's real and what's not. And listen to me, the devil doesn't have to get you to rob a bank. He doesn't have to get you to go kill somebody in order to completely wreck and ruin and strip away your life of any sort of fulfillment or meaning. All he has to do is get you to live in fantasy land. All he's got to do is to get you to waste day after day, week after week, year after year, chasing after a higher snap score, chasing after more followers, chasing after the next high score, chasing after the newest video game system. Listen to me. We got more important things to worry about. And the sad thing to me, as I see some older Christians, and praise the Lord for older Christians who want to serve God and want to do right, but they don't have near the energy that you do. Now listen to me, young people. They don't have near the mental capacity that you do. They don't have near the physical strength that you do. Listen to me. You right here have the potential to change the world. To change the world. To flip this whole world on its head. You, right here. But we think, not me. God couldn't use me. God can use, somebody that's old, that's who God wants to use. No. Lie from the devil. God wants to use you. Right here, right now, where you are sitting currently, God wants to use you and he wants to do amazing things through your life. But it's not going to happen if you got a bunch of bushels covering up your light. You got a bunch of distractions to keep you from doing anything of lasting, eternal significance. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart even in my own life as I see how easily distracted I am. All the devil's got to do is dangle a little something. I'm like, ooh, shiny. Oh, we forget about souls on their way to hell. Well, we forget about serving God and doing something that's going to matter. Distractions are all around us. Bushels are all around us. If we're to be an example, we got to stay away from those bushels. But finally, I want to just quickly, where's our time go, Pastor? I'm telling you. Not only does God want you to be an example, but I believe God wants you to be an encourager. This world is in need of some light. It's in need of those that'll stand like that city on the hill and say, listen, I'm not perfect, but follow me as I follow Christ. Ooh, that's a tall order, isn't it? But God wants to use you to make a difference. Listen, you know people that I'll never meet. You can influence people that I'll never run across. It takes all of us in our place, shining our light for this thing to work. God wants you to be an encourager. He wants you to be an encourager today. Do you know that you have at your disposal perhaps one of the most powerful forces in all of the world? I'm telling you, wars have been fought because of this powerful force. Nations have been built and destroyed by the use of this powerful force. Churches have been built and destroyed. Families have been built and destroyed just with the power of your mouth, the power of your words. They're a powerful thing. James 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Wow. That's what the Bible says about your tongue, about your words, about your mouth. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. And each and every one of us, as far as I know, God has given us the ability to use our words. What are you going to use them for? What are you going to use them for? Proverbs 18, verse 21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let me tell you something. You can use the gift of speech that God has given you. You can use it to do unimaginable harm, or you can use it for good. Each and every one of us in this room, you know the power. You know the power of words. You know when you've been going along, you've been having a tough day. I mean, things have been going wrong. The car tire's flat, and then this person's upset, and you spilled orange juice all over your white shirt. And I mean, you understand what it is to have some problems. Anybody here have problems? Okay, that's what I thought. And then maybe had somebody come up alongside you and encourage you. Speak some words of life into your life. Speak some words of building up in your life. And you walked away from that and you said, man, that was a blessing. Or maybe you've been having a bad day and you've been having a bad attitude and somebody comes along like that and you're like, man, they're making it real hard to stay upset and stay annoyed, okay? Will you cut it out? Okay, I'm trying to stay annoyed over here. But you know the power. I ask you, as we consider letting your light shine, will you use that gift that God has given to you? Will you use it to build up somebody else? Will you use it to encourage somebody else? Will you use it to shine? Again, this is something that you don't even really have to be. How about the bar is set so low? Can I put it that way? The bar is set so low that you don't even have to try real hard at this one in order to make a difference. We're so surrounded by negativity and so surrounded by people dragging each other down and thinking that in order for me to get ahead, I got to shoot at somebody else. In order for me to feel better about myself, I got to stab somebody else in the back. Then let me tell you, it's a breath of fresh air when a child of God, filled with the Spirit of God, ministers life with their mouth. Now listen, I was a young man. I think I still am a young man, and I have buddies, and we like to rip on each other. Okay, there's nothing wrong, I think, with a little bit of ripping on one another. Yeah, it keeps you humble. it can be a little bit of fun. But listen to me, if everything coming out of your mouth is negativity towards your friends, eventually they're going to start to believe it. Eventually, they're going to start to believe it. And let me tell you something, when you decide to be a Bible encourager, it's going to do some things in your life. First of all, it's going to motivate godly friends to be more godly. You become a Bible encourager, it's going to motivate some friends who maybe are struggling to keep on going. And you know what else it might do? You decide to be a biblical encourager, it might drive away some toxic friends. Might drive away some friends that whoa, wait, don't want anything to do with that. And listen to me, if you decide to obey the Bible and somebody doesn't like you for it, maybe you're better off without them. I know we don't like to hear that. I know that's not easy. But do we care about what they think or do we care about what God thinks? Use your words to build up. In fact, I think we should practice right now. I want you to turn to the person to your right, and I want you to say something encouraging to that person. If it's a wall, then you encourage that wall, okay? We're going to get the person on your left in a minute. Encourage that person to your right. Go ahead. Say something nice to them. Tell them their hair looks good. Tell them they picked a good color shirt today. Give them some encouragement. Amen, amen. Now I want you to turn to the person on your left, okay? And I want you to encourage that person. Even if they look funny, you encourage them, okay? Tell them something nice. All right, look up this way. Praise the Lord. You know what I see out in this crowd right now? I see smiles. I know it's just a little thing. We're just messing around, but listen to me. Words are powerful. And who knows? Are you listening to me now? God may use your words to save a life. God may use your words, maybe to save a life physically. He might use your words to save a life spiritually. Somebody who is about to give up, somebody who's about to throw in the towel, say, I'm done. I'm finished with all of this. You might be the one that God can use to shine your light and point them to Jesus when they had nothing. They had nothing to look at, nothing to hope in. Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Can I encourage you to use your words and use what God has given to you to build up rather than tear down? We got enough people tearing down. Use your words for good. And can I say this? This is just free. Make some friends that aren't exactly like you. Make some friends of some people younger than you. Say, ugh, they annoy me, Brother Drew. Are you kidding me? This little brat. You are a little brat. You probably still are a little brat, all right? So get over yourself and encourage somebody younger than you. Make a friend with somebody older than you. Oh, they don't understand me. They were your age already. Surely they have something that they can help you with. The problem is when we just have friends that are exactly like us, we don't grow. That iron can't sharpen iron. So make some friends that aren't exactly like you, and let's be an example. But let's allow God to use us to be a Bible encourager and let our light shine. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this, again, another time in your word. Lord, it can be so easy to just get into this